Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Remember to listen to the show on the go. You can just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Remember, normal data rates apply. Well, right now we're going to shift gears. We're going to have some NBA news and notes. We're going to do a full season retrospective and recap on the San Antonio Spurs. It was an up and down season and led to an early playoff exit, and always a pleasure to welcome back Jeff Garcia. He is an NBA blogger. He covers the Spurs with Project Spurs. Nice to have you back with us, Jeff.
Thank you for having me back.
Well, I hope you're staying dry there in San Antonio. We've obviously had some crazy weather here in Houston, but fortunately we're drying out.
Yeah, definitely. No, San Antonio got hit with some weather down here, but I heard Houston got really smacked up pretty well, much like the Spurs season.
Ah, well, it was crazy. So let's talk about the Spurs season. Let's do the 2014-2015 recap. The roller coaster ride, it comes to an end. How would you summarize how this script, how the narrative, how it played out?
I think if I had to pick one word, I would say bittersweet. And the way I say that is because a lot of the stuff that was out of their control early on in the season, the injuries to Parker, you know, Manu Ginobili, just not Manu Ginobili anymore, him dealing with aches and pains. You know, Kawhi Leonard was out for a good chunk of time with a hand injury and an eye infection. Mm-hmm. So then they kind of had Thiago Splitter with his calf, back issues. So it was just they really couldn't get a lot of rhythm going. And when they finally got the rhythm going, that's when they went on that double-digit winning streak towards the end of the season. You know, they even beat up Golden State in the regular season, and they were looking primed to make another deep run. But they just simply could not get the job done towards the end of the season and even during the postseason. Losses to New York, losses to Detroit, losses to L.A. in San Antonio. Those losses finally crept up on them, and all they needed was just one win, just one extra win down the stretch to get that higher seed, the 2 or 3 seed. And I think they might have been still playing right now. They did not close it out against the Pelicans. They drew the worst possible matchup for their squad, the Clippers. And as much as they made it a fight and fight to the bitter end, 7-game series, it just fizzled out. You know, what's surprising to me was that a lot of the chemistry issues that you would not think that was going to be there, because they brought practically the same team from last season's championship run, showed. You know, Baines was getting a lot more run. So he had to develop quicker into the system, especially when Splitter was out. Patty Mills, you know, he seems to me he played better with a busted shoulder than he did with a repaired shoulder last season. He just couldn't find his rhythm, although in the postseason he arguably was one of the better players for San Antonio. Danny Green, you know, where did he go? You know, remember there was chatter during the NBA Finals last season that he might be MVP for the Finals, uh-huh. And then, you know, where was that? He performed, he just went cold. So all in all, it was just bittersweet. It was good to see the team back, make that championship push.
Hey, the NBA Finals are underway, but we are pausing. We are doing a full season retrospective on the San Antonio Spurs. Of course, our guest tonight is Jeff Garcia with Project Spurs, and he was summarizing this season that it was bittersweet. So let me ask you this. I mean, do you consider it just a disappointment that they underachieved?
Yeah, I think it was. And plus, too, you know, that elusive defense of the title once again slips through their fingers. I think that as a franchise will haunt them as far as whenever they think about the great dynasties of the NBA, never defending it. That was kind of, I was hoping that one day in my lifetime see that, and it looks like it may not happen now. Underachieving, yes, they did. Again, I go back to just really dumb losses during the season that came back to bite them in the rear towards the end of the season. Again, I point to the big one, that being New York. I mean, there was no reason for them to go into New York and drop a game they needed to win. And I know a lot of fans and a lot of, especially Pop, and during that press game, pregame media and postgame saying, oh, loss is a loss. You know, what happens, you lose. But this time it really did come back to haunt them, and it showed. I you know, I'm hoping this is just kind of like another bump in the road. This is the Spurs. I'm not going to count them out until Duncan hangs it up or Pop leaves. But it was very underachieving season.
So as we look to the future, Jeff, I mean, what's going to be the number one priority in the offseason for the San Antonio Spurs?
Well, the first domino to fall is going to be, what are Manu and Tim Duncan going to do?
When are we going to find that out?
Well, we don't know. There's been, you know, Duncan's pretty much very, very, very quiet about it. No word, not even his best friend, former Spur and former NBA player Antonio Daniels, who now resides here, he says on local media here that he doesn't even know. But for all intents and purposes, it looks like he's going to come back. He looked phenomenal. He was the most consistent Spur throughout the season. He was probably the healthiest of all the core, the big three. So that's going to be the first domino to fall. What is Manu and Timmy going to do? As far as Manu is concerned, that's the one thing that a lot of Spurs fans are bracing themselves. I personally think that he should retire. He's just not looking the same anymore, and maybe that may be selfish, and I'm not discounting what he's done for the franchise, but that would definitely free up some cap space to go after a big free agent. But even he himself said during the season with the Argentinian press that it's not the same anymore physically. The mind is there. The body is just weak. He openly admits that he can't recover fast anymore. These aches and pains don't seem to go away as fast. They linger. He's a big-time family man. You know that may sway him. He's not playing for Team Argentina this summer in Mexico for the Rio Games qualifying event. So that may weigh into his decision. But personally, I think TD will come back. I just don't know with Manu. I really, really don't know.
Okay, Project Spurs NBA blogger. He does it all. That is Jeff Garcia joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. You can email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. Remember, on Friday nights, hey, weekends always start early. Reach out to our audience, Jeff, and tell them where they can connect with you.
Yeah, definitely on Twitter. You can find me at Jeff Garcia PS. And, of course, go to projectspurs.com and read up everything you want to know about the Spurs, including the offseason.
Okay, so how many free agents should the Spurs, should they keep? I mean, are we looking at a lot of fresh new faces on this roster when we enter into the 2015 season?
There might be a handful of them. I Danny Green will probably be the first big free agent from the Spurs side to be heavily courted. And New York is reportedly after him. They're going to offer him a hefty sum. He is from New York. He's from the Queens area. So I would not be surprised if he were to leave. Marco Bellinelli recently said that his priority is to come back to San Antonio. There's rumblings that Corey Joseph may be looking elsewhere to get that more minutes, more heavier rotation spot on the squad, for any squad, that is. And of course, Aaron Baines, you know, he definitely is playing with Team Australia this summer, but he's on the record saying that he's going to let the business side of the NBA take over, and wherever the wind takes him, that's where he goes. So you're going to probably see a lot more freshers. But the big question now is LaMarcus Aldridge actually going to come to San Antonio?
Come on, answer that question for me, Jeff.
Yeah, that is the question right now. Reportedly, the Spurs are on the top spot of his favorite destination to go. He is a native Texan. He went to University of Texas in Austin. Who knows, maybe Corey Joseph, you know, if he comes back, that may be a connection there, because Corey Joseph is a former Longhorn as well. He loves pop. If he comes to San Antonio, and if he does, and there's a good shot that he might now, then watch out NBA. I mean, imagine having seeing Duncan and LaMarcus out there on the court walking in, and then a splitter, probably be a casualty and all this. He would probably have to go get some sort of sign and trade. But, I mean, that's an upgrade right there, in my opinion. You know, Splitter, who often battles injuries, versus LaMarcus Aldridge, who has been healthier in the recent stage of his career. So that's a good sign. But, you know, there's also rumblings about Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol recently paid a compliment to San Antonio, saying they have a well-run franchise. And, of course, Spurs fans in San Antonio went ballistic, saying, oh, this is a sign, he's coming, he's going to come. I just don't see him leaving Memphis. I don't see that happening whatsoever. LaMarcus Aldridge, yes, you know, maybe he doesn't fit in Portland anymore. He needs a fresh start. San Antonio would be a good destination. And, you know, what a way to pick up some finer points than from Tim Duncan himself, teaching him more about what it is to be a quality big man in the NBA. Personally, I think it's about a 70% chance that he does come.
Well, you talk about and you highlight in the rumor mill with LaMarcus Aldridge and Marc Gasol, but you can see why these players are intrigued with the Spurs. I mean, to have the opportunity to play for someone like Greg Popovich, I mean, that's tremendous, especially at this point in their careers. They want to come out on top and have a legitimate shot.
And to play with a young, up-and-coming player like Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, when are they going to lock him up to a max contract?
Oh, they better. I think everything's going to hinge on what TD and Manu do.
Would you build the franchise around
him? Let me rephrase that. I think, yeah, they're going to lock him up. I'm pretty sure they're going to do it, and it's just a matter of time. The longer this takes, the more it makes me think, well, maybe they're negotiating with him to try to do some fancy numbering, fancy contract, where maybe they can bring in LaMarcus Aldridge and woo-hoo with more money, maybe backload the contract for Kawhi Leonard and say, look, we're going to give you max money, but let's just spread it out in longer term so we can bring in a guy to help you and get another championship under your belt and a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge. Spurs are known to do that. You know, look at David Robinson. He left money on the table. He restructured his contract to bring in free agents. Tim Duncan has done the same. He left money on the table. He restructured his contract. You know, Kawhi Leonard, you know, I don't blame him if he says no, you know, because that's a lot of money. But, you know, knowing Pop, R.C. Buford, the brass out here in San Antonio, they'll figure a way out to keep him in black and silver and hopefully get that, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge in black and silver, because that would be tremendous.
What is your belief in Kawhi Leonard? I mean, would you build your franchise around him and, like we're talking about, give him sign him to a max deal?
You know what? Somebody asked me that question at the beginning of this season, and I said no. When you look at him, you don't see franchise tag player. You don't see that. But as the season went on and I just saw how important he is to the system and how important he is on the court defensively and offensively, I started leaning to him. Yeah, maybe. What NBA player, I mean, there are a few of them, but he's ranked right up there as far as being a two-way nightmare for opposing teams. He offensively, he can knock down the three, he can slash, he's become more aggressive going to the rim, he finishes with authority, he's starting to work on his mid-range game, and that's improving, and then defensively, he can single-handedly cover LeBron James, and I'm pretty sure you've seen it, or our Spurs fans have seen the video of when James was with Miami, and at the free throw line, and he sees Kawhi Leonard checking in, and he creates an expletive, he says an expletive, in other words, saying like, oh no, he's coming in. So, you know, when you can strike that fear in a LeBron James type, you know, that's a good sign. But, yeah, he's a great piece. Let's put it this way. I would call him a great foundation to build another championship run. He is a great foundation.
Well said. Hey, exciting times for the San Antonio Spurs, and always a pleasure to have with us right here at YSR, the Biggie Sports Show, Jeff Garcia, Project Spurs, ProjectSpurs.com. Does a great job as an NBA blogger. Always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Much more straight ahead right here in hour number one at YSR.